Welcome to the Creative Nectar Podcast. Your hosts are Jenny Hahn and Stephanie Gray, and together we share conversations and practices around art making as a path to self-discovery, recovering wholeness, and living an authentic life. So settle in, make yourself comfortable, and enjoy the nourishing taste of creative nectar. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Creative Nectar Podcast. I am your co-host, Jenny Hahn.
And I'm Stephanie Gray.
And we welcome you all. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to be having a conversation about meeting sacred rage. And this is going to be a juicy conversation, I'm sure. Let's just jump in. Are you ready, Steph?
I am. You know, it's just in time for the holiday season. I feel like this is perfect timing. So yeah, let's jump in. I wonder if jumping in could include just maybe some examples or the definition of anger and then sacred rage and all of that, if you could like maybe suss that out.
Absolutely. Yes. Anger is an emotion. It's a human emotion, right? Well, actually, it goes beyond humans. Animals also feel and express forms of anger, but it is a natural human feeling and emotion that oftentimes gets repressed or stuffed down, or it gets acted out in violent and uncontrollable ways. But basically, the experience of anger itself also has physiological effects, right? We experience it in our bodies. It increases our heart rate, our blood pressure, our respiration, our body temperature. You know, sometimes our skin, you know, we get red or we sweat, we tremble. Most of us probably can relate to how you experience anger for yourself. It raises the energy and it sometimes gets the mind going with stories, with physiological and mental process that happens when anger arises, when we're present to it. I'll just read the definition from Wikipedia. It says that anger is an intense emotional state involving a strong, uncomfortable, and non-cooperative response to a perceived provocation, hurt, or threat. So it's our natural response. And I think of anger as kind of an indicator or a barometer, if you will, of when something isn't right or when our needs aren't being met in our lives.
That just brought up for me, like, it also indicates there's love there too. Like beyond the, there's love and there's a reason there's that anger.
Yeah. Yeah. Anger arises for a reason, for whatever that is. And it often is accompanied with underlying feelings of frustration and helplessness. Part of this is why we wanted to talk about this today, because many of us are feeling helpless around the situations in the world of what's going on, of wars and violence. And a lot of us feel helpless. We feel anger arise. Anger itself is not a bad thing in and of itself. Anger can be a healthy and mobilizing emotion, right? It can increase our determination toward finding solutions. It can promote social justice. It can communicate our needs. It can set boundaries. And yeah, it can be a positive and healthy thing when it's harnessed in a healthy way, which is what we want to talk about today. Because it, as we were saying, anger can be destructive when it doesn't find an appropriate form of expression. It can also be destructive when it's unconscious, whether it's held in and repressed. It can cause self-harm, but also when it's projected outward in violence and in unconscious ways of attacking others, that also is not productive or healthy.
Yeah, I would say unacknowledged anger is projection, right? Like a lot of that is projection and then creates chaos and everything that ensues from that. So yeah, for sure.
Right, right. And we did, if you listeners hadn't caught, we did do another episode on anger last season. So we invite you to check that out. But what we want to talk today more about is this concept of sacred rage. And you might have heard this phrase thrown around before. We'll talk about what this is and then how we can use creativity to start to meet and to work with this idea of sacred rage. Now, rage itself, I looked up the definition for this also, and rage itself is defined as violent, uncontrollable anger. So the violent and uncontrollable, that's kind of what we were saying about when it's unconscious, when it's projected out. How I define sacred rage is this idea of when you become aware of an injustice, of any kind of injustice in your life or in the lives of others, and you can no longer keep quiet about it. You feel compelled to take action to right a wrong in whatever way, and however that is defined for you. So it's this divine protector energy of, you could think of it as like the fierceness of a mama bear, you know, protecting her young. It's this fierceness that can arise, and there's power in it. There's power in it when we're able to harness it and transmute it and use it to propel ourselves and those around us toward positive change. So that requires awareness, and that requires our ability to be with the discomfort of anger, because it's not an immediate knee-jerk reactionary action that we're talking about. It is being able to take and harness that uncomfortable energy and then consciously use it to take those actions that we feel led to take, to use it in our creative expressions, to do whatever needs to be done in a nonviolent and yet effective manner for changing the world.
Well, and like you were saying, Jenny, I mean, it does get stored in the body, especially when we're not becoming aware of it, when we have sort of lived in a way that has kept it down inside. When we can be present with it, when we can feel it in the body, as we talk about all the time, but this is the big one, right? Because it's stored there, whether we want to realize it or not. And then how can it inform us? You know, starting off with where is it in my body, and then what does it have to tell me? And yes, that can be clues, and that's how boundaries are born, and, you know, justices happen, you know, and righting some wrongs can happen. Like, there's a lot that can be born from that space if you're present with it, and like you said, can sit with the discomfort.
Right, right. And it's hard to do. We're not saying this is easy in any way. I know I struggle with this. Anger is uncomfortable. You want to project it out. You want to get it out there. But like you said, Steph, when you can identify where it is in your body and get curious about it, then I think, as you were implying, there's a lot of information in anger. And when we can almost dialogue with it, we can learn so much about what it is we value, what we're passionate about, what matters most to us, what we feel led, what we wish to protect. It has all that information there, what we wish to change, what we want to see different. And yeah, it's rich with information.
It is rich with information. And it doesn't happen right away, at least not with me. I've never been angry and then just immediately knew exactly why. And, you know, it takes some time. Right. And that's why I love creativity around all of it, is creativity helps to bring it home. And that's where we can get curious. And it honestly, for me, it's not as uncomfortable when I bring creativity in with it. Because it creates kind of a softness around it, enabling, like, it's a safe container to express it.
Yes, it gives it a place to hold it. It gives it a place to get it, as you would often say, get it out of our bodies and onto the page. Yeah, and I want to add to that that sometimes it's hard to find safe spaces for expressing our anger. And again, especially in our world today, which is very divided, very heated, there's a lot of varying opinions of how to proceed with things, and what to do, like how to even respond. And so sometimes even having conversations about what we're passionate about can trigger other people around us. And it's hard to find sometimes those safe spaces of just really giving a place for our anger to come out and in a constructive, safe way. And I think, like you said, the page or the canvas or whatever it is we're working with, that is a safe space where it can all come out. And as we've said in here many times before, nobody has to see it if you don't want it to. But that's the beginning step for getting it out of us. And actually, that makes me think, don't you have a story around this stuff? If you'd be willing to share with us.
I would love to share it because it...
Oh, great.
I mean, so I want to bring in what you just said, which is that there aren't a lot of safe spaces right now to be able to just feel anger and speak freely. And in this particular instance, I'm going to talk about something that I just did by myself in the studio. And it was to write a letter to someone. And I don't even know if it was specifically a letter, but it was just in my journal. It was written word, getting all of my grievances out, getting all my feelings, you know, really just getting it all out there and then burning it because I did not have contact. Mm. I do not have contact with this person any longer. And in some cases, I mean, the person may be gone from this earth or you're just, you know, you don't have dialogues with them anymore, but it was so powerful to burn it. And I have to give props to somebody on my Instagram page said, you should paint with it. And I was like, oh my God. So then I took the ashes and mixed it with water and began to just paint and move. Like you could feel how everything changed once I burned it. And then when I started to paint with it, it was almost, you could feel it alchemizing. It was incredible. So, I highly recommend this, especially if it's for in an instance where you know you can't bring this up with the person, they're no longer here, or you know it would just cause more division, more anger. Because that's the thing. Right. Some people, a lot of people, myself probably in some instances, can't necessarily hold that information with an open heart and just be able to, you know, just be with it and hold space. So sometimes it's the best option, and sometimes that's family, and, you know, and it's okay, like, to have these spaces, creating the spaces for yourself.
Mm, yeah. Thanks for sharing. I love that painting with the ashes. I mean, you're talking about a kind of multi-step process of working with it and then literally transmuting it. Yeah. What did you end up doing with the painting after that?
It's in one of my journals. Yeah, it's with one of my journals. And then I was able to just sort of create around it and with it. Because after all of that happened, then I distinctly remember putting in lighter colors like yellows and white. And just you could feel the change, the shift in my body. And then that came out onto the page with everything else.
Mm. And then how did it shift your anger or your rage from that point on? Did it change anything?
It did. It changed how I chose to walk with it or not. So you have a choice. You always have a choice. You can internalize it. You can speak up to the person, or you can give your anger a voice, even if it's just you listening. you talked about the mama bear. Well, the mama bear is right there inside too. Like, okay, let's have a dialogue. Let's have a conversation. And I felt heard and I felt it move out of my body. And that's just the thing. Like also with creativity, when we're moving with the color and everything, that helps to move it out of the system, our body too. So I felt great. Right. I felt great afterwards. And I honestly, it's hard to even recall the situation anymore, you know, the specifics of it.
Mm. And I want to just speak here that it's not that we're expressing the anger creatively so that it goes away. It's right. not to say that we would no longer feel passionate about whatever it is that we wish to change. This is simply a way to get to know what it is we're feeling and to get clarity and to breathe through it so that we can show up in effective ways and set boundaries and work for change in the world. And whatever it is that we're feeling called to do and passionate about, this isn't to try to get rid of the anger or anything like that, but it's really, I think, turning it into the fuel that we can use to guide us forward.
The transmuting of it. Yeah. I agree. I don't believe anything can ever just like, I'll never feel anger towards that situation again. But I will say that when we move with our body and somatically work with it too, then it does have a chance to dissipate. It doesn't completely negate, but it does move some of that energy of anger out of our body rather than having it be stored. You know, and ignored, stored and ignored.
Stored and ignored. I like that. Well, and then to me, in my mind, then it can become the power of sacred rage.
Yes.
Of the power of then showing up in the world, taking the steps that need to be taken without being overpowered by these somatic feelings in the body.
Right. Then you have a clear idea, there's clear knowledge of what is going on, of what steps to take next. And you're not just blinded by it. And you can, like you said, you can move forward and in an informed way. And that's when the biggest change happens. You know, there's that sort of like almost, I don't want to say neutrality, but there's a way in which you can then meet what was previously maybe unmet, unfelt, unlistened to. Once that happens, then you can meet what comes next much easier because you've cleared a space. There's space now for a boundary to be created or an action to be taken.
Mm. And also what comes next in our own experience. Like I know for me, when I have sat with anger and rage and when I have painted it and moved through it, let it move through me, often what I'll find is under that is another emotion, is intense grief or sadness or whatever else it is that the fear and the rage were protecting like these guards, you know. Mm. And I feel like in the moments where I've been able to do that and really feel that grief and really express it, whatever's below the anger, then again, it makes me a clearer channel for taking change in my life and in the world and standing up for the oppressed and working towards social justice and working towards setting boundaries in my own life as well. That again, if we're avoiding those uncomfortable feelings, that it's often multi-layered, as we talk about a lot in these shows, is there's other emotions below it. And it can be this mixture of emotion and feeling that if we're willing to feel, then we can get more clarity on it.
And even to feel without necessarily the story attached. With anger, that's much harder for me, I have to say. However, once you work with it a while, then you can sort of meet it without the story. And then it's just that feeling. And then it can inform you from that space rather than the story, your story telling you how to react.
Right, right. Yes, yes. Less motivated by the personal narrative and more of how you're feeling guided to be in this world and move and take action.
Right. So that question of what's mine to do is much clearer when we can get to that space.
Mm. Well, do you have, I feel like this might be a good time to move into some prompts and activities to kind of give some tools for meeting sacred rage and how to work with it. Do you have some writing prompts for us?
I do. I have a couple. Okay. The first one is, where does anger / rage live in my body? So because of what we were talking about earlier, it generally does have a place where it likes to hang out. So getting clear about that. And then what does anger have to tell me? You know, there is a story there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that has to be uncovered first before we can get to the body part. But, you know, use them both.
That's great. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking about if there's any listeners where they're saying, well, I don't know if I feel anger. I don't know if I feel anything. I feel numb. You know, what can we do if we're caught in depression or numbness and we're not even feeling our anger or our rage? What?
I would say work with the numbness, right? You work with each layer that's presented. And then you get to that core, like we've talked about. And I get it because I was, yeah. I think I talked about this in the other anger episode that we did possibly, but I was covered over with so much grief that my anger was just completely, completely hidden. Mm. So it took me working with grief to find my anger.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. And I know from my personal work that, as you were saying earlier, moving the body, like that helped me a lot to begin to access my anger and even sacred rage. Is we talk in here a lot about scribbling or painting fast, you know, moving the body, especially if I'm feeling numb or just overcome with helplessness. It's like starting by moving that energy can be another way to kind of. But I love what you said about if there is numbness or whatever is there, grief, dialoguing with that, you know, starting that, whatever is the starting point, you know, but begin to find out what's there.
Absolutely. Yeah. What about you, Jenny? What's the exercise? I mean, I know we just kind of talked about one, but did you have a specific one?
Yeah, I did. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about a lot of the process paintings I've done over the years because as someone who had an eating disorder and was very disconnected from my emotions, my feelings, I was completely burying my anger for many, many years. And so working with creativity has helped me so much to begin to tap into it and to see that it's not a bad thing, that it is a source of power. It is a fuel. And so over the years, I realized I've painted so many of these big open mouths screaming. There was something about using my voice, you know, the mouth. And so what I want to present as an activity here is what I'm calling a visual scream. So you don't have to scream out loud or yell out loud if you don't want to, although I've done that in pillows and in the car, and it's very empowering, or even just to speak no, you know, just to own your no. But with a visual scream, it would involve drawing or painting a big open mouth. It can be a cartoony, you know, I don't know if it was in Looney Tunes or where I'm envisioning these big open mouths where all you see are the teeth in this big, you don't even see the face anymore. And it feels cathartic to do that. And then to see what else shows up, if anything, if there are words that show up, paint the words coming out of the mouth. You know, they can be coming out in all directions, but what is needing to be said? What is needing to be expressed? And this, as always, this doesn't have to be a refined image. It can be a cartoony, it can be an outline of just what is coming out of the mouth.
Yeah, I have a lot of the big mouths too. It feels so good. It feels so good. Please try it. And if you try it, let us know.
Yes. Yes. We'd love to hear how this goes for you. And also just making sure that you're not censoring yourself as you're doing it. Like we were saying earlier, if you need to burn it when you're done, whatever you need to do to feel completely safe, that you can let anything out. Yeah. Absolutely. Giving yourself the space for that.
Oh man. It feels good doing, you know, talking about this, and it's timely. And I'm just glad we had the opportunity to have this conversation and then to get this out before the or in the beginning of the holiday season. I feel like that's going to be, maybe someone will go create some rage paintings after a big meal or something. I don't know.
Getting together with family, with friends, with people who have, there's just so many varying opinions and really a lot of heated energy around a lot that's happening in the world right now. And how can we come together to find solutions without being driven by our rage and blinded by it? But how can we harness what is most important to us? How can we harness the energies and then begin to really work for change and have, as you were saying earlier, when we were offline, having nonviolent communications, having authentic relations with one another. And, you know, rage and anger, this is like a common ground we all have. We all have these emotions. And if we can meet there, I guess.
Yeah. And create the choice for ourselves to move from the heart. We can still feel angry, but what's the heart? Like, how can I express this from my heart rather than up here in the brain?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right. Well, yeah. This has been a rich conversation, and we hope it's helpful for you listeners. And yeah, let us know. Please stay in touch, and you can reach us through our site, creativenectarstudio.com. If you are looking for more support, more one-on-one community with this, with how do I even get started with creating, or I want to create in community, please join us for our Soul Nectar online community. We meet monthly, and we also post videos throughout the month, soul shares, but really the live calls are the heart of it, the meat of it, where we get to meet. The meat is where we meet.
Definitely the heart center for sure. Yeah, we would love to see you there and form connections. And as always, we'll be on Instagram posting images. I'm sure some screaming images will come out.
Yes, probably some big open mouths.
Well,
all right.
Well, until thank next you all. Time.
Until next time, be well, everyone, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays from our heart to yours.
Thank you for listening. This has been a Creative Nectar Studio production.